We're still in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the entire Bible, the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It is an acrostic psalm made up of 22 sections. Each section has like 6, 7, or 8, I think, lines. Each line starts in that section with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So we've gotten partway through the Hebrew alphabet, and I've been sharing some little, just innocuous things about the Hebrew alphabet as we're going through here, because most of our Bibles head each of these sections with the name, sometimes the actual letter of the Hebrew alphabet character. And so we are ready for verse number 65 in Psalm 119. This is the section for the letter Teth, or Teth, depending on how it may have been pronounced. We've actually got two letters in the Hebrew alphabet that represent the T sound, possibly the TH sound. And some of that may relate to changes in pronunciation over time or because of regional pronunciation. In the Greek alphabet, the parallel letter to Teth here is Theta, which we know has a TH sound. Each line then in these next few verses starts with this Teth sound. And remember, this is all in celebration of God's word. Yes, his written word, but not just exclusively the letters on the page. It's the power of those words, the power of that message and information. Verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O he who is, according to your word. It's a little bit of thanksgiving at the beginning of this section. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. So, all of us are wanting to get better at understanding God's word so that we will act and respond better in life, and also so that we can teach others how to mature, how to grow in their faith with God. And so that's what the psalmist is requesting here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Now, that's an interesting line there. There seems to be a little confession here of having engaged in some sort of sin that brought some sort of negative response from God. And so you've heard me say, I think it's possible that David may have written this. There are some days that I think it may be likely that he's the author, the constructor of this special acrostic psalm. And we certainly know David had an incident in his life where he went astray. And he got afflicted by God. And then he repented. And what did he do? He went back to the word of God. And so maybe that's the testimony here. And all of us, I think, should have that same reaction when we deviate from doing things God's way, and then we realize, oh my goodness, I screwed up. No wonder these things are happening to me now because I'm not staying on his path. We repent. And of course, repentance is a changing of the mindset, bringing it back into alignment with God. But it also, because of that, changes the way we act. And so, now I keep your word. Verse 68, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. So, help me be like you. Help me to be good like you are good. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart, I keep your precepts. Now, you remember David earlier in his life had a big problem with people lying about him. People that he used to trust. He thought they were his buds, his friends, his compatriots, his comrades in arms. And then they started lying about him. And it hurt him. Burned him up. Made him sad. Made him feel abandoned. But here, if this is David, we have this reminder that regardless of what everybody else is doing, we need to make the choice in our own heart to do things God's way. Always. Their heart is unfeeling like fat. So it, no sensitivity. It's not sensitive to God's morality, God's way of doing things. But the author says, I delight in your law. Reminder again, the word here for law is Torah, but that is not necessarily just limited to the Ten Commandments or to the 600 and some odd commandments that are considered to be the Torah of God. What we have in Psalm 119 is a whole bunch of synonyms for God's communication to humanity, God's word in all its forms and fashions, his very core morality and heart communicated to us. And so that's what we're celebrating in this psalm. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You know, sometimes when we have problems, we're driven to God's word and we learn stuff and stuff that we needed to learn. And that's good. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. This was written before the adoption of coinage. So gold and silver was kept in sometimes lumps or little sticks, maybe rings. So it was still, you know, something you could look at and you could see you had a lot of it, storehoused. But the author says, you know what? Your word, your communication to humanity is so much more valuable than having a room full of gold and silver. And I hope that is true for you. Verse 73 begins the Yod section, or Yod section, or Yed section of this book, or this this psalm. This is the sound Yeh, which we represent in English as a Y. The Germans use what we look at as the letter J, and there was a little bit of confusion because of that in the translation of God's name into our English Bibles. But it is another one of those letters that it's a consonant because all of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are consonants, but it also has a secondary use to represent vowel sounds. And so it also has the I sound, the shortened I sound for us. But more often, I think it shows up with the long E sound, the E. The equivalent letter in Greek here in the alphabet is iota. Looks like the letter I, but it is the long E sound for us, which is why a lot of European languages have that long E sound wherever an I is used. So, on to the celebration of God's word, starting with the letter Yod, each line. Your hands have made and fashioned me. The word for hand is Yod. So, your hands start the beginning of this section. Have made and fashioned me, so give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So, you created me, God. Help me understand your word. That's a reasonable request. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice because I've hoped in your word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of relationship. Relationship with God, but also relationship with others that have the same relationship with God. So that's what he's bringing out here at this point. That people who fear God see this author, they share a hope in God's word. And so they're happy to meet each other, to see each other, to uphold each other. Verse 75, I know, O he who is, that your rules are righteous. The word in Hebrew for know starts with the letter yod. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So here we have again a throwback to the idea that the author got in trouble because of some sinful deviation, and that this affliction from God, this discipline from God, brought him back. Verse 76, let your chesed comfort me, your steadfast love, the fact that you care about me, you like me, you want what's best for me. Let that comfort me according to your promise to your servant. New Testament reminds us that discipline is done by fathers to their children because they love them, not because they hate them. And I think those of us that grew up in a good, stable home, every once in a while, we got ourselves in trouble with our parents, didn't we? And we got disciplined. I got spankings. I got groundings. I got some of my privileges taken away. Some of my toys taken away when I was much younger. That hurt at the time. But I understood as I matured that that was to push me back into doing the right thing for the relationship. And so that's what is being talked about here. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. So I want to have that relationship again, and I really love your word. Let the insolent be put to shame because they've wronged me with falsehood. Evidently, who's ever writing this, possibly David, has had problems with people lying about them. But what other people do should not change our relationship with God. So the writer says, as for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Doesn't matter what other people are doing. Doesn't matter what they're doing to me. I'm not abandoning my commitment to your word. I'm going to keep thinking about your word, chewing on your word, memorizing your word, talking to myself about your word. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. Now that's interesting. He wants to teach. He wants to teach people that have the beginnings of a relationship with God how to grow in that relationship. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. So one of the reasons for the Word of God is to help us know how to stay away from sin and the shame that comes with it, and also how to repair relationship if we have deviated. The word blameless is sometimes used not as the idea of perfection, you know, the total lack of sin, but rather the fact that when sin is detected, we respond by seeking forgiveness and getting things right again. That's an important part of relationship. The next section that starts with verse 81 is the cough section. The word cough actually has to do with the hand, specifically the palm with the five fingers on it. It's pretty much the letter K in its typical form. Each line starts with that sound. My soul longs for your salvation. That's what I want. I hope in your word. Salvation gives us hope, right? My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? So when will I get past this issue that I've got right now so that I can feel that I'm back in relationship with you, God? Verse 83, some visualization here. That's a little harder for us to understand because it's outside of our normal interaction. For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Now, what they would do is they would use the skins of clean animals to preserve wine in. But one of the issues that you might have with a wineskin is that over time, in a house, a shelter where there's lots of smoke and heat, it shrivels up and becomes brittle and may even tear and no longer be used for containing anything. So he's basically saying, I'm shriveled up. So I've been shriveled up like a wineskin in a smoky place, hot room, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. So I'm having a rough time here, God. When are you going to come comfort me? I'm sticking with your word. I'm holding on but to your word. Verse 84, how long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? So then we get a little more specificity. What he's upset about is that other people are causing him trouble. The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They don't live according to your law. How many of you have found yourself griping something like this? That God seems to be letting other people get away with stuff. And sometimes it's stuff that's being negative to you. Well, you have to vent a little bit. And that's what he's doing here. But it doesn't change the fact, just because other people are not living by God's word, that we can avoid it, that we can ditch God's word too and do whatever we want. Verse 86, all your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me! They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. So you can hear his appeal here. He's begging God to intervene. He's saying, I'm not giving up on your word. I'm hanging in here, and I'm anticipating that you're going to step in and do something here. In your chesed, in your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. So help me get over the hump. Help me get past this really rough time. And I'm going to keep on sticking with your word for as long as it takes for you to intervene. Next section begins in verse 89. It is the Lamed section. It's the letter L. Forever, O he who is, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. So the letter Lamed is also the prepositional indicator that we would say to or toward. And so this section actually begins to the ages to come. Your word, O he who is firmly fixed in the hedges, in the heavens. So I'm looking into the future, into eternity itself, and I know that your word is settled. Verse 90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. So I know you can be trusted. You put planet Earth here for a reason. And that reason was a place for your people made in your image and in your likeness to live. And so here we are, knowing you have an eternal plan, and we trust you're going to bring it to conclusion. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. A little bit more about the creation. Creation is here for as long as God wants it to be here, which is going to be until Jesus Christ splits the skies with the trumpet sound, and then the old creation, the sin-marked creation, is going to melt away, going to disassemble with a great big release of heat, and the new creation, the new heaven, the new earth, are going to replace it. And so that's what the author is kind of looking toward. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So if I hadn't been focused on all your promises that you are going to work everything out, that you're going to bring judgment, you're going to bring redemption, if I didn't realize that, I would have been out of here. I would have been done. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm yours. Hoshiachna! Save me now! For I have sought your precepts. So I belong to you. Step in, save me. I'm sticking with your word, and I know your word says that you will work everything out for the good of those who are the called according to your purposes. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. You know, the bad guys are out there causing trouble, but I know your word says they are not going to win in the end. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. The idea there seems to be that there is a termination point out there for this fallen world, a changeover to the new heaven and the new earth. That concept was already understood in the time of the Davidic kingdom after. So even though we're aware that there is a time out there for the turnover from the mortal to the immortal, from the temporary to the permanent, in the time period we're living in, we still have God's word that has wide application and use. So let's hang in there with God's word. Next section is the Mem section. This is the letter M. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. See, it's the thing I think about all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Now, how can it always be with you? Memorization. I really encourage you, add new bits and pieces of God's word to your memory on a regular basis. It'll help. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The goal always is to surpass those that taught you. Learn a little bit more. And when we're talking about the Word of God, we need to soak up God's Word more and more and more until we've surpassed those that came before us. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. So the people that are older than me, been at this longer, I've been really pushing in my own studies. That's a good thing to have as a goal. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. So I stay on the path of God's word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey was their special, I don't want to say candy, energy food. It was a wonderful thing. So The Word of God is like that. It's something you crave, and it's going to do you good. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I will not be committed to the bad stuff because I know about the good stuff. Last section for today. Noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You probably know that verse. And it is illustrative of how God's word works for us. To try to walk in the dark is never wise. We'll end up stubbing our toes, falling over stuff. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. So we make commitments to do things God's way. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O he who is according to your word. So again, apparently problems brought on by sin. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O he who is, and teach me your rules. So help me get back into right standing with you. Let me praise you and sacrifice. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. So it's always dicey living life. But you stick with God's law, no matter what, his word. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I don't stray from your precepts. See, if we stay on God's path, we're less likely to get into the landmine field of sin. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are a joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. So it's all about doing things God's way, because we are part of God's family and we are going to be in God's presence for eternity. So use God's word to focus your life on God's way of doing things. See you next time we get into God's word.